Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter, the host for Fundamentally Mormon. I am your Mormon fundamentalist friend. We are going to be reading The Old Ship Zion, a pamphlet by Ogden Kraut, which you can read along with us at www.ogdenkraut.com. I will also post this along with the text of the reading on my Facebook page, Zion's Redemption Books, and also in LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions group, and also in my group, LDS Gospel Mysteries. So the guest call-in line, if anybody wants to call in, is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And we'll just start the reading. The Old Ship Zion by Ogden Kraut, written in 1977. So that was 40 years ago. That was the year I was born. If we have had one dream concerning the Old Ship Zion, I have had 100. Heber C. Kimball, page 1. The Old Ship Zion, a parable. Once upon a time, a master craftsman built a beautiful sailing vessel. It was created with more inspiration and wisdom than any other ship had been for nearly 2,000 years. It contained instruments for its guidance that no other ship possessed. It was fortified with armor to withstand the attack of any enemy. It could weather any storm. The master selected a crew of worthy officers to take her out to sea, giving them chart, compass, and specific written instructions for the course they should pursue. He promised great rewards and joy to all hands when they reached the harbor of peace, from which they would never need to sail again. Everyone became well informed of their course, the dangers of their route, and the final destination. Then the master builder launched his beautiful ship for its predestined and maiden voyage. The journey at sea would take many years, and great difficulties were to be experienced. But the master promised success to all those who would obey his instruction. The first captain lived only a short time, but he gave his life for the ship. The second and third captains likewise spent their lives at the wheel, carefully charting and navigating the ship according to the master's plan. Finally, a storm arose, more severe and threatening than any tempest before. Dark and threatening clouds soon broke into a fury, causing the raging seas to thrash against the bow of the ship. Many of the crew and a few of the officers began to fear for their lives and their families. They began to murmur among themselves, saying, "What need has our master of this dangerous course that may destroy us all?" They soon convinced others. Well, they sound like the children of Israel, you know, in the desert of Arabia, you know, Moses. Anyway, they soon convinced others that they should turn the ship towards another direction, saying they were sure the same destination could be reached. These mutineers became so demanding and persuasive that nearly all the officers and even the captain became convinced that they should sail south, where the sea was calm and the climate warm. There they could take a more peaceful journey and follow the same course of other worldly travelers. Due to the panic of the crew members and the turbulence of the stormy sea, the captain turned the ship's rudder in another direction. Immediately the storm abated. They were then joined by other ships who greeted them with friendship and praise for the change in course they had made. This new direction brought some peace and honor from the otherworldly travelers that this detour was soon held as inspired. But in the midst of all their rejoicing, a few of the crew members were not content. They began to question the others and asked, "Are we not supposed to follow the course that was given to us by the Master?" Then there began to be disputations among them over the right to change the written orders and turn the ship from its original course. Some of the officers argued that those instructions were no longer needed. They claimed the right and the authority to revoke and change them according to their own unanimous approval. Anyone who disagreed with these new policies would be declared a rebel and confined to prison, thrown overboard, or compelled to compromise by signing an allegiance to the officers. Other captains came to the will who did not only continue the new change of direction, but soon declared that the original instructions given by the Master were not only outdated, but were false and evil. Anyone believing in them would suffer condemnation. Soon other changes were inaugurated and approved by the officers. The armor plate was considered too heavy and burdensome, so it was cast off. The cell was too long and bulky, so it was shortened. The instrument panel was too bright and was considered unnecessary, so it was covered up. They also tossed aside the sailing regulations, so they continued their voyage on the calm sea in the warm climate, surrounded by other ships who had become their closest friends. But by and by, the Master Builder, who knew his ship was off course, came to rescue it from a terrible fate. "What is the cause of this great evil?" he chided the officers. "Why have you not done even as I commanded you?" At this, the officers wept and gnashed their teeth, for they could see there was no excuse for what they had done. Because those officers had chosen to sail with the worldly travelers, the Master told them that such would be their fate. They were placed aboard the passing ships and therefore would arrive at the destination they had not anticipated. The Master told one of his servants to go below deck and release those prisoners who had suffered for defending his orders. To these new faithful followers, the Master promised priceless riches and treasures when they reached the haven of his port. Joseph Smith. And as for the perils which I am called to pass through, they seem but a small thing to me, as the envy and wrath of man have been my common lot all the days of my life. And for what cause it seems mysterious, unless it was ordained from before the foundation of the world for some good end or bad, as you may choose to call it. Judge ye yourselves. God knoweth all these things, whether it be good or bad. But nevertheless, deep water is what I am wont to swim in. It all has become second nature to me. I feel like Paul, to glory in tribulation, for to this day has the God of my fathers delivered me out of them all, and will deliver me from henceforth. For behold, and lo, I shall triumph over my enemies, for the Lord God hath spoken it. Doctrine and Covenants, section 127, verse 2. And all they who receive the oracles of God, let them beware of how they hold them, lest they are accounted as a light thing and are brought under condemnation thereby, and stumble and fall when the storm descends and the winds blow and the rains descend and beat upon their houses. DNC section 90, verse 5. I just want to say something real quick. The oracles of God is the words of God given to a prophet, not the prophet themselves. So when a person says that they are the oracle of God, they don't understand what the Hebrew word really means. And if they don't understand the Hebrew word, then how can they understand the master who speaks in Hebrew terms? Oracles are the words of God as spoken by the prophets. For instance, a thus saith the Lord revelation, not the prophet themselves. Let no man be afraid to lay down his life for my sake, for whosoever layeth down his life for my sake shall find it again. And whosoever is not willing to lay down his life for my sake is not my disciple. Doctrine and Covenants, section 103, verses 27 and 28. And if thou shouldest be cast into the pit, or into the hands of murderers, and the sentence of death passed upon thee. Okay, first of all, this is a revelation given to Joseph Smith about what happened to Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, who the Gentiles called Jesus the Christ. This is exactly what happened to Jesus. So let me start again, even including the son part, because Jesus had children and a wife, at least one. And if thou shouldest be cast into the pit, or into the hands of murderers, and the sentence of death passed upon thee, and if thou be cast into the deep. Wow. I don't understand. This tablet just like turns on and starts making advertisements. I hope you couldn't hear that. If the billowing surge conspire against thee, if the fierce winds become thine enemy, if the heavens gather blackness and all the elements combine to hedge up the way, and above all, if the very jaws of hell shall gape open the mouth wide after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good. Doctrine and Covenants, section 122, verse 7. I would advise people to go check that one out, because that's not the full thing there. There's more to it than that, but I'm just going to read, make sure I can get through this here. You can also find that Lectures of Faith, Lecture 6, verses 7 and 8. Continuing, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. John chapter 10, verse 1. Because straight is the gate and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Let not that which I have appointed be polluted by mine enemies, by the consent of those who call themselves after my name. Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verse 97. For although a man may have many revelations, and have power to do many mighty works, yet if he boasts in his own strength and set at naught the counsels of God, and follows after the dictates of his own will and carnal desires, he must fall and incur the vengeance of a just God upon him. Behold, you have been entrusted with these things, but how strict were your commandments? And remember also the promises which were made to you, and if you did not transgress them, and behold how oft you have transgressed the commandments and the laws of God, and have gone on in the persuasions of men. For behold, you should not have feared God. For behold, you should not have feared man more than God, although men set at naught the counsels of God and despise his words. Yet you should have been faithful, and he would have extended his arm and supported you against all the fiery darts of the adversary, and he would have been with you in every time of trouble. Doctrine and Covenants, section 3, verses 4 through 8. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word of God, and anon with joy received it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when the tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Therefore all those who receive the priesthood receive this oath, and the covenant of my Father, which he cannot break, neither can it be moved. But whosoever breaketh this covenant after he has received it, and altogether turneth therefrom, shall not have forgiveness of sins in this world, nor in the world to come. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 40 and 41. When all the chief features of the gospel are obliterated, when we float along the stream and do as the world does, then and not until then will persecution cease. Apostle George Q. Cannon, Journal of Discourses, volume 22, page 374. God has given me a revelation in regard to celestial marriage. I did not make it, yet they would like us to tone that principle down and change it, and make it applicable to the views of the day. This we cannot do, nor can we interfere with any of the commandments of God to meet the persuasions and behest of men. I cannot do it, and I will not do it. John Taylor, Journal of Discourses, volume 25, page 309, the Doctrine and Covenants Official Declaration Manifesto, page 256. Woe unto you when all men shall speak evil or shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is to be at enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. James chapter 4, verse 4. Right there, that word enmity means to be in opposition. So let me just read it as it's translated a little bit different, but it's the same meaning. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is to be in opposition with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. James chapter 4, verse 4. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so to do, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. And I just want to say that the commandments of God, Jesus said, or Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. he is the one that gave the law to Moses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jehovah was there, but Jesus is the one that gave the commandments at Mount Sinai. Yeshua, for Yoshia, for he shall save his people from their sins. And whoever, therefore, shall break one of the least of these commandments of the Torah, and shall teach men so to do, like improper Sabbath worship, not keeping the Moedim, the holy convocations of Jehovah, and the laws of God, to the best of our ability. People that teach men to break those commandments, because they were nailed to the cross, don't you know? Even though it doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture. In fact, in Isaiah and in many other places throughout the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Old Testament and the New Testament, they kept law, and they prophesied that in the last days the lawless ones would be destroyed. In Hebrew, that lawless is Torahlessness. People who do not keep the law or the Torah, the instructions of God. Continuing on. And at that day when I shall come in my glory, shall the parable be fulfilled which I spake concerning the 10 virgins. For they that are wise and have received the truth, and have taken the Holy Spirit for their guide, and have not been deceived, verily I say unto you, they shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire, but shall abide the day. Doctrine and Covenant, section 45, verses 56 and 57. And this shall be our covenant, that we will walk in all of the ordinances of the Lord. Doctrine and Covenants, section 136, verse 4. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing? Mormon chapter 9, verse 9. So then how can they say, can change the ordinances and change the commandments and change the gospel and change the everything and say, oh, these things aren't, we don't need to do these things anymore. We don't need to. Do you know that in order to obtain the highest level of the celestial kingdom, you have to keep the law, the higher laws of Jehovah? Are you aware that if you do not keep those higher laws, you have no right to enter into your exaltation or even into the celestial kingdom? Every law has instruction, and every reward is given to those who obey God's word, even if man on the earth tells you otherwise. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Compare the following statement by S. Dilworth Young. Quote, thus the way they interpreted the revelation in those days has no particular bearing on the way the revelations are being interpreted today. Joseph Smith did it one way for his day, and Brigham Young did it another way for his day, and that's because Brigham Young came after the rejection of the church spoken of in DNC section 124, wherein they were told to build a temple for the Most High to come dwell therein, that he might restore that the fullness of the priesthood which they had lost, or which he had taken away, even the fullness of the priesthood. Jesus says, I will reject you if you don't do what I say. When Joseph died, they were just starting to build the second story of the temple. It was never finished. It was never properly dedicated. The Shekinah glory of God that came upon the Kirtland Temple never came upon the Nauvoo Temple, and the Father never came to that temple. So I have to assume, based upon all of the other evidence, including that, section 124, that the church was rejected in Nauvoo. Jesus said, if you do what I say, I will fight your battles for you, and you shall not be removed from your place. But they were. He said, if you don't do what I say, basically, instead of blessings, you'll receive cursings, wrath, indignation, and to the third and fourth generation. It was a big deal. Many people that followed Brigham Young lost their lives on the trek out here because they were cursed by God for disobedience and sloth. Joseph Smith did it one way for his day, and Brigham Young did it another way for his day, and John Taylor did it a third way for his day. And today we're doing it the way Spencer W. Kimball wants it to be. We listen to him. What they did in that day does not bind us at all. Modern revelation is what President Joseph Smith said, unless Spencer W. Kimball says differently. 10th Stake Fireside, BYU, May 5th, 1974. He's probably excommunicated for that talk. That the rights of the priesthood are inseparably connected with the powers of heaven, and the powers of heaven cannot be controlled nor handled only upon the principles of righteousness. For they may be conferred upon us, it is true. But when we undertake to cover our sins and gratify our pride, our vain ambitions, and to exercise control or dominion or compulsion upon the souls of the children of men in any degree of unrighteousness, behold, the heavens withdraw themselves, the Spirit of Jehovah is grieved, and when it is withdrawn, amen to the priesthood or authority of that man. Behold, ere he is aware, he is left unto himself to kick against the pricks, to persecute the saints, and fight against God. Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 36 and 38. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. So we're going to go into the overdrive portion of the radio program. In 90 seconds, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And I'll continue reading. I'll check the studio later. Here we go. All other authorities or officers in the church are appendages to this priesthood. Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 5. That's a 60-second mark right there. 917-889-8827. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Revelations 16, verse 15. When the white stone mentioned in Revelations 2:17 will become a Urim and Thummim to each individual who receives one, whereby things pertaining to a higher order of the kingdom will be made known. Section 130, verse 10. And it's interesting, if you go back and read that section 130, and it talks about, you get this white stone, which is also talked about in the Revelations, the revelations of Jesus Christ is received by Yochanan the Revelator. Well, I think it's interesting because if you look, it actually says that you'll be able to see things pertaining to orders above the celestial kingdom. Everybody's like, oh, the celestial kingdom, that's what the greatest thing we can attain to. But there's orders above that. Anyway, check that out. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to continue reading here. For all who will have a blessing at my hand shall abide the law which was appointed for that blessing. That's what I was talking about earlier. And the conditions thereof, as were instituted from before the foundations of the world. Doctrine and Covenant, section 132, verse 5. Any person who is exalted to the highest mansions has to abide a celestial law and the whole law too. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 330. See, you have to obey the law of God to receive the blessings that are predicated upon that law so you can receive the rewards that, I mean, everybody thinks, oh, I'm going to be exalted. Oh, I'm a church temple recommend holding tithe paying. You ain't keeping the higher laws. You ain't getting the higher blessings. It's pretty simple. And what are they? Part of it is the law of consecration, wherein we have united orders. 16 million members of the church today and not one united order is a pretty sore slap in the face for the church. My greatest happiness I find in the goodwill and friendship that has developed among the classes of people at home and abroad towards the Latter-day Saints. And this is sad because Heber J. Grant was saying this. He loved the fact that he's becoming friends with the world. You know, of course, he wasn't a prophet. And he said that the heavens were as brass to him. He was a Babylonian businessman who put the temple law in Hawk, Deseret Jim in Hawk, Manti and St. George and Logan in Hawk. And the church still doesn't own those. They paid them all off, but you know, Babylon doesn't give back God's stuff, and I don't want to get into that in this program, but continuing on with this false prophet, Heber J. Grant, among all classes of people at home and abroad towards the Latter-day Saint Church during my lifetime, in places of everyday persecution and bitterness, we now enjoy the high regard and happy association with all our denominations. Heber J. Grant, Salt Lake Tribune, November 22, 1938. Brigham Young. And when the spirit of persecution, the spirit of hatred, the wrath and malice cease in the world against this people, it will be the time that this people have apostatized and joined hands with the wicked. Journal of Discourses, Volume 4, page 327. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be uprooted. Matthew 15:13. Now behold, the nobleman, the Lord of the vineyard, called upon his servants and said unto them, what is the cause of this great evil? Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verse 57. I better hurry if I'm going to get through this. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Matthew 21, verse 13. O ye workers of iniquity, ye that are puffed up in the vain things of the world, ye that have professed to have known the ways of righteousness, nevertheless have gone astray, as sheep having no shepherd, notwithstanding a shepherd hath called after you, and is still calling after you, but you will not hearken unto his voice. Alma chapter 5, verse 37. For of him unto whom much is given, much is required. And he who sins against the greater light shall receive the greater condemnation. Ye call upon my name for revelations, and I give them unto you. And inasmuch as ye keep not my sayings, which I give unto you, ye become transgressors. And justice and judgment are the penalty which is affixed unto my law. Doctrine and Covenants, section 82, verses 3 and 4. But behold, verily I say unto you that there are many who have been ordained among you, whom I have called, but few of them are chosen, then who are not chosen have sinned a very grievous sin, in that they have walked in darkness at noonday. Doctrine and Covenants, section 95, verses 5 through 6. I'm going to keep on reading these, but if I don't get to it and I get cut off because I only get 45 minutes altogether, I will post this whole thing, this whole pamphlet, at Zion's Redemption Book so you can continue reading it. But I don't think I want to go on and, do two episodes of this. It's good stuff, but I want to get on to the next one. So, therefore, be not afraid of your enemies, for I have decreed in my heart, saith the Lord, that I will prove you in all things, whether you will abide in my covenant, even unto death, that you may be found worthy. For if ye will not abide in my covenant, ye are not worthy of me. Doctrine and Covenants, section 98, verse 14 and 15. That was Jesus speaking to Joseph. I got to say real quick, you can find the Zion's Redemption Book Store page on Facebook, and you can also find, I will post a link later on, which will be done by the time you hear this if you're not listening live, on my group, in my group, LDS Gospel Mysteries, and also LDS Last Day Prophecy and Gospel Discussions. Continuing. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:33. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, any of the followers of Christ or his children, it were better for him that the millstone were hanged around his neck, that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Keep my commandments continually. There goes the first counselor in the ward. They live like right next to me. They won't even look over and say hi. I'm sitting out in my front yard, basically. Keep my commandments continually, and a crown of righteousness thou shalt receive, and except thou do this, where I am, you cannot come. DNC section 25, verse 15. I'm just going to look real quick here. Actually, I'm going to make sure I can find it again. I'm going to go down and see how much more we have. Oh, we're almost done. I can finish. I can get this. I got this. Hearken and hear, O ye my people, saith the Lord your God. In Hebrew, that anywhere you see the Lord your God, in Hebrew it says Yehovah your Elohim or Yehovah Elohim. So this whole notion about how the Father's name is Elohim, it is written all over Scripture that Yehovah is your Elohim, which means mighty one, strong one. He is one of the Elohim, which is the gods. Your Father in heaven's name is not Elohim. I am sorry that false doctrine ever got... Oh, just drive me nuts. Hearken and hear, O ye my people, saith the Lord your God. Ye whom I delight to bless with the blessings of all, yea, that hear me, and ye that hear me not, will I curse, for I have professed my name with the heaviest of all cursings. Doctrine and Covenants, section 41, verse 1. Yehovah, your Elohim, is the father of Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua ben Yosef, the son of Miriam, not Mary, Miriam, the son of Yosef, or Yeshua ben Yosef, or actually is Yeshua, because Jesus is the only begotten son of the Father, right? Yeshua ben Yehovah. You want to get right down, into it. Yeshua ben Yehovah, he was the only begotten son of the Father and our Messiah and the first witness and apostle of the Father, greater than Moses. Moshe. And it came to pass that I, the Lord God, will send one mighty and strong, holding the scepter of power in his hand, clothed with light for a covering, for whose mouth shall utter words, eternal words, while his bowels shall be a fountain of truth, to set in order the house of God, and arrange by lots the inheritances of the saints, whose names are found, and the names of their fathers and their children enrolled in the book of the law of God. This one scripture in section 85 of the Doctrine and Covenants. If Yeshua or Jesus has to send one mighty and strong to set the house of God or God in order, it implies that the house of God is out of order or would become out of order, which it was, which it is, continuing. And in DNC section, or no, Isaiah chapter 28, the one mighty and strong is to send they who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, and that is exactly what is happening in your ears right now. I am teaching you. And prophecy is fulfilled in your ears. The weak things of the world shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones. That is a prophecy of the fall of the church. That man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh. Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 19. And all the saints who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures. DNC section 89, verses 8 through 19. And this shall be my seal and blessing upon you, a faithful and wise steward in the midst of mine house, a ruler in my kingdom. Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verse 61. And finally, the last one before our next pamphlet, the one mighty and strong. And the Lord, even the Savior, shall stand in the midst of his people and shall reign over all flesh. Doctrine and Covenants, section 133, verse 25. When we come back tomorrow, hopefully, on the Shabbat Shalom, we will be reading The One Mighty and Strong by Ogden Kraut. I testify to you that I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God and that Jesus Christ is Messiah and that our Father in heaven loves us all. And I've seen them face to face in the flesh, and they are not spirits. And they've laid out the plan of salvation with the gospel and the ordinances through the prophet Joseph Smith. And anybody who changes them and declares that these things are done away with or not needed now or whatever is actually fighting against God. And they will receive the lowest portion of the kingdom of heaven. And I say these things in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and in the name of Jehovah our Elohim. Amen. Thank you for listening. Take care, everyone. God bless, and goodbye.